Hello, and welcome to Talk to Be Well. I'm your host, Dr. Robin Henderson, Chief Executive of Behavioral Health for Providence, Oregon, and Chief Clinical Officer for Work to Be Well. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss the importance of sleep. Joining me for this important discussion, because trust me, sleep is one of the most important things you could do for your mental health and wellness anytime, all the time, every time, are three members of our National Student Advisory Council who are going to share their sleep stories, good and bad, while we talk about sleep hygiene today. And also maybe even the impact of changing time zones on sleep, because we know that changing time zones and even that nasty little daylight savings time, all these things impact our sleep. But before we go, as a reminder, the information provided during this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended, nor it is implied, to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Let's get started by having each of you introduce yourself, where you're from, and why does this topic matter to you? Who wants to kick us off?
I'll go first. It's nice to meet you. I'm Jeffrey Townsend from Texas, and I've had a lot of experiences in the past with sleep deprecation and, on the opposite side of the same coin, sleeping too much as well.
I can go. Oh, no, you go.
I am Reveille. I live in Southern California, and sleep is important to me because I don't get a lot of it, and I would really like to.
Hi, my name's Addison. I'm from Washington, and same boat as Reveille. I feel like I don't get a lot of sleep, especially as a junior in high school. It's really hard to actually have a good, like, 7 hours of sleep a night, especially with all the assignments and tests going on.
Well, so you all, I assume, have had some type of health class at some point along the way where they have told you what is the appropriate number of hours of sleep that you, at your age, should be getting. So I want you to tell me and be honest with us here. What do you feel is the appropriate amount of sleep you should be getting that they told you in health class? And what do you get on an average night?
This might be bad, but I actually don't know how much sleep I should be getting. I've heard somewhere that teenagers should get as much sleep as a baby, but that just doesn't sound right to me. It's like, how am I going to do all my homework and sleep like a baby at the same time? It just doesn't make sense. I think on average, I honestly fall asleep really early, maybe like 9. I'm like an old man. I fall asleep at like 9:30, but I wake up at like 4 or 5 a.m. So maybe 7-8 hours.
Dang, that's crazy, Jeff.
I don't voluntarily wake up that early. It's just because my school chooses to for some reason.
What? Wait, when does your school start?
Well, 7, but I live about like 20 minutes away.
Oh. Yeah.
You start school at 7 a.m. as a teenager?
Yep, it's torture.
Oh, we're going to put a pin in that and come back to that.
You know what's crazy? Because California passed a law where school cannot start until 8:30 a.m. I didn't realize, for me, all of my schools have always started after 8:30. I never realized there were actually schools that started before then.
By 8:30, I'm in my second period class.
Yeah, same. What the heck? I need to move to California.
That's crazy. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, I'm going in now on that topic. Trust me for a second. We'll come back to how much sleep you should be getting here in just a second. But the reality is, when you look at clinical studies, they've begun looking, and districts have begun looking at the fact that little kids, you know, like elementary school kids, they're the ones who get up really way early in the morning and would benefit from 7 a.m., 7:30, especially parents with their travel schedules and stuff like that for work. 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m. for little kids is perfect. For teenagers, nobody recommends starting school earlier than 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, because teenagers, get this, need 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night.
That's crazy.
Like, 10 hours is almost half of your entire day.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine getting like 10 hours for a weekday.
Yeah, let's take that 10 hours of sleep. And then if you add 7-8 hours of school, that's already 18 hours out of your 24-hour day. So then with the rest of that, on a weekday, you get 6 hours to live your life, spend time with your family, and finish all your homework and like any hobbies you may have on the side. That does not take a lot of time. Yeah.
I totally agree. I've done the math on this so many times. And if I got the appropriate amount of sleep, then I would have zero time for anything else. A saying that we have in our school is it's super short and sweet. It's what life? Because basically you just go to school and then you come home and then you just have like test, and then you study, and then you sleep, and then you repeat. So it's like, what life, guys?
It's rough. All right, you two, how many hours of sleep do you get?
I try to get at least 8 to 7. I'm kind of like Jeffrey. I fall asleep pretty early, but I just don't wake up. Like, I just like to keep sleeping. But I have to get up in the appropriate time. But yeah, it's like 7.
You guys are crazy. Okay, this is going to sound so bad. But literally, I kid you not, the very first week of school, so when all you have to do is get signatures, I don't know how, but work started to pile up. And so I think collectively in that first week of school, I got a total of 2 hours of sleep. No, 4 hours of sleep that entire week.
Are you okay?
And like, I was so proud of it. I felt like that was such an accomplished moment. I was like, yes, I got 4 hours and I'm still alive.
Yeah, you're stronger than me.
Yeah, I can't. I get really cranky if I don't get enough sleep.
But I think it is kind of, I think all three of us could agree that like school can definitely like give you an overwhelming amount of work and take away from how much sleep you really can get, right?
Yeah.
So why do you think it's important to get enough sleep?
Just to overall improve, your physical and mental health. I know personally for me, like I said earlier, I get really irritable when I don't get the proper amount of sleep and I feel my body sluggish. I'm not able to perform at my best. So just being able to perform at your best ability, when you get enough sleep, you're able to like perform better and you're less stressed out.
I think speaking on a personal experience of mine, I remember for the longest time I was thinking like, man, I've not had the energy to be myself lately. And I was really trying to figure out why that was. And it really was just as simple as like sleep gives you energy and you need that energy to be yourself. And I feel like without getting enough proper sleep for a while, if you don't have the energy to be yourself for an extended period of time, you might forget how to be yourself. You know what I mean? And like at least times when I don't get like enough sleep, I kind of just like, I hate everything. You know what I mean? Every little thing that anyone can do annoys me super hard. And I just feel like a zombie just trying to get through the day, get home and sleep.
That's really interesting that you guys like, okay, I get that that's typically, I feel like that's like a normaler reaction to having very little sleep. But sometimes on days when I get 2 hours of sleep, I'm very high functioning the next day. And it's like really weird because then I think my body's already in like the go, go, go kind of mode. And then the next night, if I get the appropriate amount of sleep, then I literally crash and burn like in school. So it's like maybe it's adrenaline. Maybe the days that I sleep a little are when I have a lot of things the next day. So I don't know. Maybe that's something to look into. But yeah, that's kind of wonky.
I wonder why that is. Would you know anything about that, Dr. Robin?
Well, you know, stress, when you've got like a stressful situation and you're ruminating on it in your mind and you can't get to sleep and you can't get to sleep and you're like doing all the things and all the things, does boost up that adrenaline, but it's a short-term impact. And when you crash and burn after, you know, having that, pulling that all-nighter or whatever it is that you do and getting just a little bit of sleep, the consequences can take, you know, 4 to 9 days for you to get back to feeling like a normal human if you're getting the right amount of sleep. The impact on that sleep, they call it sleep debt. And the idea that you could like with a checking account, you know, you overdrew your checking account basically. And so your body is now taking from other parts. But in my mind, I think the bigger issue for people, you know, in their teenage years is that when you're missing sleep, you're missing two things. Number one, you're missing that opportunity for your body's growth hormones to function throughout your body, which is exhausting, right? All those little rampant little hormones that run through your body all the time when you're a teenager, that stuff exhausts you. And sleep is where a lot of that stuff happens, right? But the second thing that it really does is it can impact your memory. Interestingly enough, sleep is where our mind takes the things we learn and puts them into our memory. So that our memory then can then recapitulate them. So studying all night long and cramming for a test and not getting any sleep, you may feel better in the moment, but the reality is if you study for a few hours and then get a good 6 to 7 hours of sleep, you're gonna remember more on that test the next day than you are if you crammed and only got a couple of hours.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying sleep kind of like lets your brain process everything that happened that day, kind of like file it away so you can remember it for the future, right?
Yep, exactly.
I was actually going to ask you, they always say before a big test to get like plenty of sleep the night before. I was wondering how real that actually was.
It's very real. It also helps you, like, it cements in, not only does it cement in information, but it cements in memories. It cements in things that happen that are of importance to you. It allows your short-term memory to dump in and process and really bake in there. And sometimes, I don't know if this happens for you, if you remember your dreams or not, but a lot of times if I've been studying something or I'm preparing for something, I'll dream about it. And I know it's baking into my brain at that point, right?
You go, Rivali.
Okay. See, that's interesting because I've heard something contradictory to that. I've heard that it doesn't really matter how much sleep you get the exact night before for a test. It matters the amount of sleep you get a few days prior. So I don't know. What's your take on that?
I think it depends on what kind of studier you are. Are you somebody who studies along the way and so you're learning and you're baking all along the way? Or do you wait until that last minute and cram it all in? So I'm talking about the crammers who aren't like doing the whole, you know, being the good student that's studying along the way and filing those things away, right? I not to call out my daughter at all because I never would, but I watched her once study for a Spanish exam and she's sitting here cramming all this stuff into her brain. And I'm like, why haven't you been rehearsing this every single night? And then, you know, having it every single night along the way with your vocabulary list. You can't just cram it in an hour before your test. It doesn't work that way.
Yep. Guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guilty.
Yeah. You get a little bit of that recency effect, but the reality is the stuff that you were cramming at the first start, actually, it's more the stuff that you were cramming in the middle. You'll get the stuff that was at the beginning and the stuff at the end, but the stuff in the middle tends to get muddled.
Wait, I've heard this. I've learned of this. I'm in psychology right now, and my teacher told me about this, where you remember your first stuff, like the first stuff and the last stuff, and then always just blank on everything.
You know, even just thinking about that, I feel like the beginning of a school year and the end of the school year is so much more memorable than all the stuff in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Primacy and recency effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your psychology lesson for the day.
I was meaning to get that in. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know, but good question, though, for you all. You know when it is that you don't get enough sleep. What happens to you the next day? I mean, have you ever fallen asleep in a class?
Oh, yeah. You know the thing where you're like, your head drifts, then you have to jolt yourself back up? It's the awkwardest thing ever.
It's one of my favorite moves, actually. Yeah.
The jolt up?
Yeah, just the... You think nobody can tell, but everyone in the room knows.
Everyone sees.
You're about to fall asleep. You think you're pulling it off to where nobody can tell. Yeah, that's my favorite, actually.
My teacher gets so mad at students sometimes. He's like, stop falling asleep, and he will call you out in the middle of class. I've never done it. I have fallen asleep. I've like dozed off in his class like that. Thank goodness for the like spearmint gum I have in my backpack to keep me awake. But there's this other kid who sits close to me who falls asleep, and our teacher gets so mad. It's bad, guys.
Oh, that's really terrible. Because you got to wonder what's going on in that kid's life that he's not able to get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Right?
And yeah. I think that's true. Whenever there's situations like that happening, like you can never tell when you just see someone at school and they're sleeping. And I think you see a lot of teachers who have absolutely no sympathy for those students. They just see as you are disrespecting their class, their line of work, which is kind of their entire life, right? Mm-hmm. The teachers see it as like you not caring about the class when they don't really know what could be happening in the background. And also, that spearmint gum, that is a good hack for all the students out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Breath mints, spearmint gum, anything that's going to, like, shock you. You know, my personal favorite, nice glass of ice water.
Yeah, cold water wakes you up very well. Yeah.
Cold water is the best. And it helps you hydrate. You know, bonus tip, hydrating can help you with a lack of sleep there. If you're feeling that you didn't get enough sleep, coffee's great. Coffee can give you jitters. What's better is nice ice cold water and lots of it. Mm-hmm. Because hydrating can be really important.
Actually, another hack for whenever I'm like super groggy in the morning after I didn't get enough sleep is to take a cold shower right when I wake up. I feel like that really like jolts your nervous system awake.
Yeah.
Those are short-term hacks.
Yeah.
Short-term for sure.
Short-term hacks. This is also probably another short-term hack right after I get out of bed. Because I know, Jeff, you said that you wake up pretty early. Yeah, 4 or 5-ish. I also wake up around that time. And it's terrible because it's still dark outside. And I'm like
4 hours before school starts, too.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't be calling you out for that since I do it, too. But yeah, so it was like really bad. And I'm like, I'm out before the sun is out. That's not okay. And then I'm like, okay, well, how do I actually get out of bed? And it's probably not healthy. But sometimes when it's really bad, I'll just like go on Instagram or like I'll open my phone because the light from your phone, like, isn't it supposed to like trick your mind and like stop melatonin from being produced or something because of the light? Dr. Robin, you'll have to fact check me on this.
It certainly is not the healthiest behavior that you could do because there's a lot of you know, theories about how those lights impact our being. But I have a question for you all. Snooze alarms, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I know it's terrible, but I love the snooze alarms. And I'm one of those people that has 10 alarms. It'll be 5 a.m., 5:05, 5:10, 5:15.
Yeah, same. I have like every like 5 minutes. I know I can't that first alarm. That's just my first call. I can't wake up in the first one. After like the next two, I'm like, okay, then I'll get up. Like I need multiple reminders.
Exactly. I know it's terrible, but I just can't help it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the same. But guys, at some point, like, have you ever just snoozed all of the alarms? Because sometimes I'll have like one going every like 10 minutes or something, and I'll have it set, like I'll have like 20 of them. So then I'll plan, they'll start at like 5 a.m. and I won't actually, like some days I won't get up until like 6:37, but it's not proper sleep and I'm just like killing it. And then I'm also killing my time. Does that ever happen to you guys?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You see the time, you're like, okay, I really have to get up. Like, and I've actually heard that like hitting the snooze button, sleeping like more, waking up over and over again to your alarm is worse for your energy than just getting up the first time you hear your alarm, which I think is super ironic because by doing that, by hitting our snooze alarm, we're trying to get just a little bit more sleep because we're so tired, but that's actually making us more tired for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And that disruption can trigger like heart responses. It can do things to your blood pressure, that whole startle response. Not a great move, but it also disrupts what could be really, really, really good sleep. If you're in deep sleep and you hit a snooze alarm and then you go back into deep sleep of some kind because you're so disrupted and so tired, that pattern's not good for your heart and your body.
Yeah, I think I've killed at least 5 years from my life at this point, just in the last 3 years, like of high school.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think something that kind of like promotes depriving yourself of sleep is I remember when I found out that like humans sleep for 1/3 of your life, that was a scary thought for me. I was like, I don't want to spend 1/3 of my only life just sleeping, not even like really being there. So that made me want to stay up later, feel like I'm getting more out of my day, out of my life. But later on, I realized that that's actually really unhealthy and like sleep is like lack of sleep can have some very detrimental effects on your health. And
do you guys also have people in your school or maybe friends that kind of glorify not going to sleep or, oh, I stayed up all night doing this thing and mm-hmm. that? Because it's really toxic. But I know in my school, especially in my AP classes, people are like, oh, I've slept for like this amount of time because I was doing this and I was studying more than you. And I feel like even for me, that felt like, oh, shoot, maybe I shouldn't have gone to sleep. I should have stayed up and done more. And it just creates a kind of like toxic environment of competition between everyone.
Dang. That's bad. That's terrible.
No, I really agree with you. I know tons of people who are like, oh, bro, I got 3 hours of sleep last night. Like, I know this one friend in my school, they're all of them consistently like, do not get sleep. Like, and it's like, it seems like they're competing over who gets the least amount of sleep. I don't know. I never saw it as cool. Whenever I don't get sleep, I feel terrible. Like, I'm not going to brag about that. And I feel like it's kind of like this weird, like, celebration of not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, she'll be, oh, I'm working so hard that I don't need sleep. But it's like, no, you look like a zombie right now, you know?
Exactly.
Look at what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to put my body out there and do these things. I'm more, yeah, whatever. Get over it. You know what else? Good sleep can help you have good, healthy glow, makes all the things better. And it also makes you a better athlete, right? High athletes, you know, who are like really like high performing athletes will tell you sleep's one of their most important secrets. But I have another question for you all. Naps, yes or no?
I can't nap. I can only nap when I'm in a car or someone's driving or I'm in a moving vehicle. But I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, after school and that. I just, once my body's awake, I can't go back to sleep until it's nighttime.
I'm a big fan of naps personally. It's like you get home from school, nothing like resets my mind better than taking a nap, honestly. And I think it runs in my family too, because my mom, my sister, we all go through the same thing.
Oh my gosh, wait. Family naps. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's crazy. It'll be a weekend. And if everybody in my family is in our house, I will walk out of my room at around 2 to 3 p.m. and the house will be like dead silent. Like, it's crazy. It feels eerie because everyone is taking their nap. That it's not like official that 3 p.m. is a nap time for my family, but my mom, my dad, my grandmother, and sometimes my sister too. And I'm like, what? Like, they're all napping.
Exactly. And I think something funny about having a night owl family is I remember it was just a random summer. It was like 2 a.m. and I was up watching probably Mr. Beast videos on YouTube or something. And I go out into the kitchen and like my mom was just in the kitchen, or like she was just in the kitchen like getting a drink for herself. And I was like, okay, that's kind of random, whatever. And then 5 minutes later, while I was pouring like a bowl of cereal, my sister walks in the kitchen too. And it was like this whole family reunion in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. We were just all in the kitchen.
Midnight snack lives.
Exactly.
It's a good thing. I love that.
Or something.
So have you tried to do things to improve your sleep?
Nose goes?
You have to tell probably about nose goes.
Oh no, I got filled in beforehand.
Oh, you did get pulled in. That's right. You know, yes. About nose goes. All right, nose goes.
Addy, I gotta say that was you. Yeah. You're talking.
Okay. So during final time, I try to really prioritize my sleep, because I know I learned the hard way my freshman year. Like, I would cram, I would not sleep at all, and it was so bad, and I didn't do as good as I thought I wanted to do on my math exam. So I think since then I was like, okay, so each final I'm going to try to go to sleep at the proper time, just like study as much as I can and not put so much immense amount of pressure on myself. So it would just the trying to make a timeline of like certain times when you need like the extra time to sleep.
Mm-hmm. I think you kind of need to have like a routine that you do before you go to sleep, like maybe 30 minutes before you go to bed, like you stop using your cell phone, you know, you do your skincare routine, you read 10 pages of your book that you're reading or something. And I think doing that consistently tells your brain, okay, time to get ready to go to sleep, start releasing melatonin or whatever. And I just think that like getting your body in that cycle can really help you get more consistently, because like obviously getting a lot of sleep is important, but I think what's just as important is having that sleep consistently. Because like sleeping at like, even if you're sleeping 8 hours every day, if you're sleeping at completely different like times each day, that can really mess up your sleep cycle. And from my experience, it really just it just makes you feel really out of place. Like your brain just is not like a clean circuit functioning properly. You know what I mean?
That's a really, really good point, because when you have a sleep routine, and having a sleep routine that is called, we call that having good sleep hygiene, right? Where you're going to bed around the same time, you're waking up around the same time, and you have these habits, rituals, whatever it is that you do, you know, skincare. And free tip, man, do not sleep in your makeup. It is not good for your skin. And eye cream, early and often, eye cream and moisturizer, it's a great thing. But back to sleep hygiene, having those things that are your routine, you know, setting your phone down, stopping the scrolling. Some people say you should stop scrolling a half an hour before you go to bed to let your brain have some reset, and don't watch television in bed and things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of people who do, and that's part of their sleep routine or whatever. But having that routine is important. And I think what you said about going to bed around the same time and waking up around the same time. Otherwise, your system kind of gets shocked.
To me, it feels the same as like whenever my computer feels really laggy. That's how it like you click on a new tab that has to load or something. Like that's how it feels like for me whenever like you have an inconsistent sleep schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Dr. Robin, you mentioned sleep hygiene, and if that's what we call it, then I think I'm going to have to play off of that parallel and say that I am a little bit, I think I'm just a little bit filthy, guys. It's bad. Cause like, I don't know. It's like my family entire lineage, my grandmother, my mother, and now also me, which is kind of bad. We will sleep while watching TV. And okay, I'm not as bad, but my mother will fall asleep to a TV screen on and she'll be like, it helps me sleep. And then at like 4 a.m. when I wake up, I need to go and turn off the TV in her room because it's still playing and it's still loud. And I have zero clue how she manages to sleep during that. Because I just watch TV, I turn it off, and then I go to bed because I need it to be quiet, but I don't know how she does it. And then like same thing with my grandma. It's like really bad.
Yep. Does anybody use like, you know, Calm app or anything like that to help sleep? I know here in this household, we're big devotees of relaxing rain sounds. Is that nice relaxing rain sound that comes out of the Calm app? Oh man, that stuff is the best to fall asleep to.
Actually, I have to say I've never heard of the Calm app.
What?
That's great.
For me and people listening who are like me to understand what that is, you should maybe explain it a little bit.
So Calm app is a meditation app. There's a lot of different meditation apps out there. That happens to be one that I use that basically has things like, you know, maybe it's nature sounds or green noise or white noise or relaxing rain sounds or, you know, a thunderstorm in the forest that can play for, you know, half an hour or an hour or even all night long if you want, that really helps you have some type of other alternative noise. Some people like the sound of the ocean and things like that. It does a lot of other things. It has like meditation moments. It has story time. Those are also really popular nowadays, where you have an app that will tell you a nighttime bedtime story, and they'll have celebrities literally telling you a bedtime story that you can fall asleep to. Pretty cool stuff, to be honest with you, because it helps get your mind away from ruminating and thinking about whatever it is that's clouding your thinking.
So as an educated expert, would you recommend that app to people who are struggling with maybe not getting as much sleep as they should or falling asleep when they want to?
Oh yeah. And you don't have to use it on the app. I mean, you could ask, you know, whether you're a Google person or an Alexa person or whatever it is, but you could say, hey, Google, play relaxing rain sounds. And Google will do things like that. And it'll play on a track of, you know, whatever type of thing that you want, be it Google, Alexa, or there's something called Cortana that some people use. But there's, you know, a number of different AI, different types of things that'll give you those types of things. But there's also a million apps out there to help you with meditation.
That's true. I guess that's just one of the many options you could choose for that. But it's good to know there's a lot of resources for people who have that struggle, because I'm sure it's very common.
Oh, yeah. Anybody use tea? Chamomile tea or anything like that?
I actually have tea with me right now, but that's my favorite thing. I have this thing called bedtime tea, and yes, I like taking it before I sleep. It's a good thing to help me relax.
That's a cute name for it.
Chamomile? Oh, bedtime tea.
Bedtime tea, yeah.
Often has a lot of those teas in it, yep.
I feel like you could totally make that just a product. I feel like people would buy it just because of its catchy title.
I can totally see that as like a thing on TikTok, like, oh, can't go to sleep without my bedtime tea or something, you know?
Yeah, I can already imagine the ad being like, bedtime tea to solve all of your bedtime issues.
Yeah, but don't spill the tea. That would be unfortunate. Oh my stars. But what are the ideal conditions for you to sleep? Do you like your room to be warm? Do you like your, you know, lots of blankets? Do you like it to be cold? If you had your perfect sleep, what would the conditions be?
This is something I have to think about, actually.
For me, I love falling asleep with rain, like, especially because I live in Washington. We always have rain. But my perfect thing for me, I need my bed to be made when I sleep. But I don't know. It's just I feel more clean or something when my bed's all made, and then I can hear the rain outside, and I have like a little, I don't know what it's called, crystal lamp,
or something like that, and I have that on, little fairy lights, that's like the perfect sleeping condition for me.
Oh, I love that.
I love the rain aspect. It's like raining in California right now, which it does not do a lot, but so I keep my window open and I hear the rain, and honestly it's like one of my favorite sounds to fall asleep to. Normally I prefer silence, but that's like the one sound that I'm okay with like being on when I am asleep. But it has to be real. As much as I love the sound apps, like Calm app, I don't know, I feel like it needs to be authentic rain that's outside my window.
For me personally, I have like my window across from my bed, so I love to like I like to have like the blinds open, so I can actually see outside, see the moon, see the stars and everything. And then when I wake up, I get to actually wake up to sunlight if it's like a weekend when I'm not waking up super early for school. I think that's very nice.
Jeff, you live in Texas, and I moved when I was really young, so I don't remember. But do you often see the stars?
Oh yeah, probably not like as much as if I was like in the country or something, but I see the stars a lot when it's not super cloudy or anything. Yeah.
Dang. See, I wish, because I love stars, but at this point I see more city lights than stars. I mean, I feel like that's normal, but like I'll see maybe just the moon and like two stars.
Well, us people in the suburbs don't have that issue, I guess.
You know, technically I'm suburbs. Technically I'm suburbs of California.
Well, I love this idea about thinking about the best ways that you're going to get a good night of sleep. It's rough. It can be rough. And when you're, you know, in this teen time where there's so many things that are competing for all of your energy and competing for all of your time and attention, paying attention to getting a good night's sleep can be difficult. It takes some level of intentionality. But I hope that we've all had some good conversations about some things we could do better. I am not a perfect sleeper. I often break all the rules. And especially when I travel and stuff like that, I do a terrible, terrible job of keeping up with a good sleep schedule. But I also know that sleep is one of the most important things we can do for our mental health. It improves our mood, it improves our emotional well-being, and it can help us stay on track. I want to thank you all for joining me today on Talk to Be Well and discussing the importance of sleep, especially for people your age, and sharing your own stories so vulnerably and being honest about the fact that, you know, that perfect night's sleep can be elusive. If you are looking for support with your mental health, please check us out at worktobewell.org. That's work2bewell.org. This is Talk to Be Well. I'm your host, Dr. Robin Henderson. Thank you all and be well.
See you later. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.